This is Lori Prox here with Kathy Todd of Valdez Medical Center, also a doctor for Providence Valdez Medical Center here in Valdez. And there was a school board meeting the other night and anticipate asking you some questions about how school is going as well. So I should mention you're also a member of the Valdez School Board. So we routinely hit you up for information about what's happening here in our school. So thanks for joining us again.
Happy to give you anything I know.
All right. Well, I guess the hot topic is vaccines. And last we spoke, I think you were sometime between today and last Wednesday, you got your second vaccine personally, right?
Yes, yes. They did the healthcare workers first, and they decided I was the oldest and most decrepit. So
there you go.
That was on day one.
I'd argue the most decrepit, but wait, I don't mean that. Now I'm in trouble with the other doctors, but... anyway, so how is that going in Valdez in terms of folks getting it done? And I know if you said you had a couple minor, sore arms, those type of things, but not major reactions here in our area.
The people I've talked, this is a very small sample. You're better off to go with the national numbers, not just in Valdez, but this one bothered me less than the first one. Several people were quite tired. But that includes going skiing and just not having their oomph, not everybody in bed for the weekend, although one person was. And arms weren't any sorer than the first time around. Mine was less, but we were expecting to have one arm that didn't work for a while, and that didn't seem to happen to the people I talked to. So really not a big deal.
And the indication was that the second might be a little more, provoke a little bit more of a reaction than the first, but... So I guess
exactly.
That's good news.
And it didn't seem to do that. I will say that they have also said at the national level that the older you are, unfortunately, the less you react. So the younger people had more of a reaction as expected, and they maybe have better immunity than I do, too.
And you mentioned that last time. So that's actually a good thing because their body's fighting. That's a fight response, and it means that you have...
It worked
on you, yeah. So as we move ahead, rollout, it looks like Alaska's doing a pretty good job in terms of getting the vaccine out. And I think we're with 65 and older trying to get folks vaccinated here in Valdez and setting up, you had mentioned trying to set up some events, larger events. So how is that going?
I think it's going really well. I think Alaska is now fifth in the country as to, percentage of its population done. We're basically ready in this state to hand out any vaccine that we can get. There is a little bit of, logistical, how are we going to get this shipped cold enough, and are people at the other end ready to give it out and that sort of thing, plus some confusion as to where the second dose is coming from. That is, should we just do everybody's first dose and trust the manufacturers and the distribution system will get us our second dose, or should people hang on to two doses for everybody that they start with? And they're getting those glitches worked out in general. Anyway, we're doing pretty well here. Some of the other states have figured out how to do 1,000 people in one day. I think Valdez could do 1,000 people in one day if we had that much vaccine.
We've been practicing that
with the flu shots for a long time. And so... give a vaccine and we'll get it into people. It's also nice to be small because, for instance, Terry figured out she had a vial that she was going to use for the senior center, but it needed one more person. Well, we have one more person who needs to get it under kind of special circumstances because possible allergies, and they're going to do all that with it. She's the last person in that vial. We can do that, find one more person on the spur of the moment kind of thing that other people can't.
Well, and we have challenges with our geography, so I would imagine our decisions about second doses when it could be waylaid by transportation are a little different than a lot of places, so that makes it even more difficult. But I know I have friends in Arizona, and I think communication is probably a big consideration as well. They're actually, the way that they're communicating with people is they have to belong to a medical provider or have certain coverage. And so if they don't, then if you're kind of out of that loop or you have one of the coverages that they didn't choose, then you have to become you know, fill out three forms to get to the point where they recognize you, to invite you to get an appointment, to get...
Right.
But you think about that here, you say, okay, 65 and older, there are different ways to get the word out in a small town, but the, you know, we were talking about Phoenix, Arizona, and you have a huge population of elderly, so you have a lot of folks to get a hold of. You know, and I think the Terry was talking about calling people. Well, that's not really an option in a big metro. So,
right. It's very frustrating for people here to try to do it online, because unfortunately the website, when there are no openings in the Valdez one for this Thursday, for instance, which it's already taken all, you know, the minute they advertised it, it was full up. But it disappears off the list as even existing. And so what do people do here? They call the public health nurse's office and they say, oh, no, we're having it. We just are all full up. You want to be on the waiting list. We'll put you on for next week. They can't do that in Phoenix. And, you know, I wish that the thing would say, it's full for Thursday. We will have one next week, as opposed to saying Valdez is off the face of the earth and on the website like it is at the moment. So the answer here is to keep trying. If you can do it through the website, that's great. But the public health nurse office can do it on the phone for you, and we do have that advantage here.
Yeah, very good. So that takes care of vaccines, but I know there was some discussion at school board meeting last night. We have a school nurse now, and so that's been great to do some of the extra work that's been required with all the COVID things going on. So can you let us know what it is that she's doing in the schools? I think that'll be interesting. As well as of some of the things talked about last night?
Well, in general, we knew that there was going to be a lot of extra work this year, because of COVID. Paperwork to be done, reports to be filled out, other things that have been kind of on the back burner that the front office people won't have time to do because of what extra they have to do. But also a lot of, does this kid need to go home? And there's some talk about her getting, the talk at the school board meeting was about her getting the ability to test people right there at the school, which up until now, testing has to be under a CLIA-waived lab, which the Alpha Doc and Valdez Medical Clinic both have, but which, like the city, for instance, couldn't do it directly. And so there's some question about whether schools are going to be allowed to do that directly, and that's still being worked out. There's also a matter of getting the supplies and that sort of thing. And one has to be careful because the school or the state got a bunch of a different kind of test, the one that has to be sent off to Anchorage or Fairbanks and takes, you know, up to a week to come back. That kind of test is about 95% sensitive. That is, if you have COVID, there's a 95% chance it'll pick it up. The one we do here in town is more like 90, 92, kind of depends on what day whether you're symptomatic at the time. So the Abbott ones are not quite as sensitive as the state one, but you get it back faster. There's another test out there that the state had shipped to it from the feds, but it's only like 60 or 70% sensitive. And so, you know, if I do a test on you and it comes out negative, there's still a 30% chance that you have it. And the question is whether that's good enough or not. And if that's what they're offering to the schools, we may or may not want to take that. So anyway, that's a work in progress. We, you know, don't go to your local school and try to get a test right at the moment.
And we should take a moment and explain for people why that's so relevant, because if they don't have a school, maybe they don't know, and we haven't talked about it for a little while in our discussions, but at the schools, if a child is sent home sick, they need to test, get a negative test to get back into school. So that has actually been, how is that going? I know at first it was a little, you know, I think it went well, and then I think it was taking a little longer, and it's an inconvenience for sure, but people seem to be managing with it. Is that your take?
Yeah, I know that the two testing sites, ours and Alpha Doc's, seem to be able to handle the load. As far as I know, I don't think we're ever turning anybody away or saying you have to come back in 3 days. I think we can pretty much always get them done the same day that people are asking. And so, yes, it's an inconvenience to come get your kid for a sniffle, which they wouldn't usually get sent home for a sniffle, but that's possibly one of the earliest signs of COVID. And to get them right back in school, if you do a test and it comes out negative and you've got a 90%+ chance that that's not COVID, then we can say, okay, go back to school with your sniffle if you don't have a fever and if you're getting better, you know, if you're not actually sick, the kind of thing that you would usually just send your child to school with, then that's okay for them to come right back. But they have to get that test first.
And I think that's another place we can look at and feel fortunate that most of the folks out there and on the medical team have been involved very intently in the schools. You know, you on the school board with the, you know, helping out with swim team, having kids in the school. Angela was the doctor for the schools temporary for a time, and I think all the doctors have a pretty familiar relationship with the schools and how things work, and that has to be a well. And then with Sean Arnold involved in the COVID Unified Command, all of that, I think it's nice to have those folks on both, you know, in all these groups, right?
It is. It's very nice to have everybody talking to each other. Not to say we do it perfectly, but it's a smaller thing to call up one colleague or have a Zoom meeting with three people than it is to the city of Philadelphia or something.
Yeah. All right. And then in terms of rolling out vaccines from here, I know the big question nationwide is who next? And, you know, we're per capita getting it out here in Alaska. And I think Valdez, if it's here, it's getting out. So we could be facing these questions of you know, how to get it to the different populations sooner than anywhere else. And I know there's a lot of people vying for, you know, how I want to jump ahead in my group. How is that being managed? And I think there's been some talk, right, of I think a lot of industries have said, you know, me, I want to get it. And I think teachers as well, that's been kind of an interest in many places because they want to get back to school. You know, they haven't been in school in Anchorage for a while.
Yeah.
So how does that play in with the school perspective and how does that affect us locally?
The hard thing if you're a public health person is to make small enough chunks that you can see each chunk go by. So, for instance, in the lower 48, they're saying everybody over 75. Alaska said everybody over 65 because it seemed like a doable chunk. So you can say, well, if you don't get in this week, don't worry. We'll get through your chunk in the next 2-3 weeks, as opposed to let's have everybody over 50 would be way too many people to figure out, you know, just first come, first serve would just be a mess. And so Alaska's trying very hard to figure out for ourselves what's the best chunks for here. And the state has a working group that works on that and takes public input. And I think they either just had one or they're having one this week. And there's a lot of people lobbying, of course, for their group. We need it for fish processing or else everybody's going to get sick like they did last year, you know, whatever it is. And a lot of people lobbying for teachers, especially the school districts that haven't felt like they could open yet. Sean Arnold was telling me that he heard that Juno was going to take its vaccine and prioritize its teachers, and they're starting with the lower grades and working their way up. And so they were going to do all the teachers of whatever age teacher that are working with kindergartners, and then all the first grade teachers and all second grade teachers as the vaccine became available, because they thought that was very important as a community, whereas some other community might not think that that's as high a priority as doing all the elders first. I don't know how much leeway there's going to be, but there's certainly people lobbying at the state level for, you know, which essential workers are essential when, and that sort of thing, because as more vaccine gets available, then that won't be as big a deal. Okay, we're doing, you know, all the teachers over 45 this week and all the teachers under 45 next week is not a big deal. But if people have to wait another couple months, that is possibly something that could close the Juneau School District back down, and they're trying to avoid that.
And I know here and around the rest of the state, I think most folks are following the state guidelines. So this is a little bit of a deviation. Do you think that will affect us here, or what are we looking at with that, or just waiting for the state to make
a
decision?
Well, the state is still going to give us the amount of vaccine that we deserve compared to their guidelines. And so it's important to not just say, we got 200 doses this week, we'll get 200 next week, and we can get way ahead. They're trying to be fair. And so just because we're good at giving it doesn't mean that we get to say, you guys know how to give it? Here, have some more. They are going to restrict us to, what would be our fair share based on our demographics, if that's what they're working on as demographics, or based on how many teachers we have, or how many fish processors we have, or whatever priorities have been set up at the national and then the state level.
And I know there's a lot of concern with folks out there who say, for whatever reason, they don't want to get the vaccine. And watching a lot of the state Governor Don Levy and Dr. Zinc, anytime they mention the vaccine, they do mention that it is a choice for people. Have you heard anything otherwise, or is that still?
Oh, no. No, I think it's very likely to remain totally voluntary, especially from a government level. I suppose there could be a business that says, if you want to work here, you have to get a shot. But our local hospital doesn't require flu shots. Some places they do, but of their staff. Let's just focus on the people who want to get it, of whom there are plenty. And I think that there are many people who are not too sure about getting it because it's new and they haven't seen enough data. And the people who want to get it can get it first, and then the other people can decide when they have more information, if that would make them more comfortable.
And how is the rest of the medical community doing here in Valdez? I know this has been a little bit insane. Initially, no one was going to the doctor at all because everyone was just kind of locked inside. This is becoming, it's not normal, but it's becoming, I don't know, we're dealing with it in a little more regular fashion. How about that? What is the status of your clinic and hospital? I know you're busy with the vaccine, but outside of that, what's going on?
Well, right at the moment, of course, we have no cases in Valdez, which is wonderful. That could change by the minute. Jeremy O'Neill says this isn't necessarily, he's not the only person who's thought of this, but it's the same thing as saying you got a very high fire danger in your forest, and that doesn't mean, but you don't have any fires right at the moment, so go ahead, have your fireworks on your tinder dry ground. No, let's not do that. Let's not let up just because we have zero cases. But right at the moment, we're not overburdened because of that, which is very nice. And people are kind of not going here and there and not doing as much stuff, so maybe they're not crashing their snow machines as much. It's too bad if they're not snow machining. It's very good if they don't crash.
There are
so
a few,
right at
though.
The moment, we're doing pretty well. That could change on the drop of a hat, and so there's a little bit of of nervousness all the time for what if.
Yeah, but Kathy, we've had so much doom and gloom. I think it is important to celebrate some of the victories. And you did say at the beginning, thankfully we don't have any cases, but we've gone well over a week with zero cases. So
yeah,
we'll
great.
Just allow a moment of celebration for that, right?
Like,
let's celebrate some of the victories, right?
Say, look what we did, worked. So keep doing it, is the point.
Yeah, but I guess my point was just, let's allow a little celebration or a little, acknowledgement of hey, before we dive back down, let's take a breath.
well, but we are doing something differently. And there are people who have been putting off, having their blood pressure checked because they didn't want to even come close to the clinic. And some of those people have bought their own home blood pressure machine, but some of them have just been putting it off for 6 months.
Yeah,
and we can afford to have those people carefully, as you say, we're kind of used to it now. We're used to asking people questions and having them not come if they feel at all sick, and wearing our masks and staying apart. And so it's pretty safe to get routine care. Our colonoscopy suite at the hospital, which was broken, is now unbroken, and we're going to do our first case.
A colonoscopy suite? Could we go back there? That just sounds wrong. Those two words should not be in the same sentence.
Which?
Colonoscopy suite. I don't know. I'm distracted.
The machinery that works the colon, you know, the computer that works the colonoscopy.
It just sounded like a little retreat or a resort for a minute. Not so. With folks getting out and about, it is, before we go, our new social structure, you know, everything going on, it has stressed some other areas, and including mental health for sure. You know, there's a lot of unhealthy things happening as a result of our situation today. So are we getting a handle on that? And here's another time to take a pause and say, thankfully, here in Valdez, we're not nearly as impacted as many places. So let's count our blessings there. But, you know, on a medical front, what are some, you know, of course, suicide, depression, what are some of the major things that our lifestyle now is negatively impacting people's health?
Well, absolutely. What you just said, you know, a lot of people really need a hug, not just a Zoom call. And that's pretty hard to do. People are worried about their elderly relative somewhere else who's sick, and they can't go there and even see them. If they went to the hospital, they couldn't even do anything when they were there. Very frustrating and very anxiety producing, because you're kind of helpless, and that's kind of not what anybody likes to feel. We are blessed in Valdez to have just gotten another counselor, so we're fully staffed at the counseling center, as far as I know. And it's hard to do groups. It's hard to do counseling where you can't see the person's body language. But people are getting all that kind of stuff worked out here, and I think that anybody who feels like they need somebody to talk to, the counseling center is very available, and we do have the advantage in Valdez that you can go out for a walk, which you can't if you're in Tokyo. So we are very blessed that way.
Yeah, most certainly. I think folks have had to focus a little more on maybe a little different kind of health care. And I, you know, personally, I kind of have to think about, hey, how am I doing today? And let's stop a minute and breathe. So I think we have a lot of great resources here. I want to take a moment to mention also, AVV does have a hotline, and they open 3. So if folks out there, there's a lot of, it's not just physical, it's not just COVID right now. It's a lot of things are overwhelming. So if folks need to talk, there are options with the counseling center, with AVV, for, you know, whether it's your situation you're in, or the physical, you know, place you're in, or what have you. There's a lot of options. A lot of options,
yeah, and
here.
And, you know, the people who don't have a job, or, you know, are kind of hurting, we got to remember that those people are still out there. And even though probably a relatively large number of us have jobs compared to some places in the country, there are still people very affected by that. And we, I think people have been generous to the food bank, and including the city being generous to the food bank, but we need to, you know, work on getting those people not just some jobs so they get them some money, but some jobs so they can go see some grown-ups for a while.
Well, definitely. And Valdez really came out and supported, but a lot of, you know, financial worry with, you know, folks who might have a business, or trying to keep people employed and not, you know, all that good stuff. So none of that has really gone away. We're kind of just in a holding pattern. So I think thankfully Valdez is kind of in the mode of kind of getting into a system of helping out that way as well, or supporting where they can. So Anyway, we got off the topic of medicine for sure, but but hey, it's a more holistic approach.
Exactly.
Well, very good. If there's, is there anything else new on the technology front for medicine or where we're headed? Any closing comments?
I don't think there's anything too new right at the moment. I think everybody's concentrating on getting the vaccine into people's arms, people who want it. There are plenty of those. And I think that's not to say that people aren't still researching other things, the monoclonal antibodies, the, you know, how do you treat this the most effectively. But I think that, you know, we just need to make sure that we keep ourselves not like Los Angeles, where they're running out of oxygen and beds, just try with the same old boring things and keep on.
All right. Well, thanks for that. We'll try to make it through. We're halfway there. It's Wednesday, so try to make it through the week here. And we will check back in with you next Wednesday. Anything on the horizon? Will you have another big vaccination event before then, or is that?
Well, they say Terry's got everybody signed up for this Thursday. That's the first one up at the Civic Center, a little bit bigger venue so that people can sit around and wait for the 15 to 30 minutes afterwards that they have to do and have room to do that all separate from each other. So that's the first time doing that, but as I say, that's not the first time for Valdez. We're pretty used to doing those events, and I think that'll I expect it to go very smoothly, but that's the first time one of those, and maybe I can report back on that next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.